2025. If you were to dig into a spiritual meaning of 2025, what does the years, the numbers 2025, those number values add up to 9, what do they mean? Well, it means a spiritual renewal. Endings, a completion, transformation, reflection, spiritual growth. 2025 is meant to be a year of grace and forgiveness. Some even say 2025, symbol of being the mountain of God, divine strength, anointing, spiritual empowerment. 2025, the end of cycles, letting go of the past. 2025, a fulfillment through little things, connection, people, instead of stuff. 2025, spiritual reset, new beginnings, increased faith, connect with the theme of being cleansed. 2025, taking hold of God's promises, restoration. 2025, it is here and it is going to be gone in just 3 short days. You know, 2025 started just like any other year, just like next week's 2026 is going to start. Many people start with their New Year's resolutions. And what were the 2025 New Year's resolutions? Number one, of course, regular exercise. Number two, to eat healthier in 2025. Number three, to learn a new skill, read more books, reduce screen time, start a gratitude journal. That's a good one. Volunteer more. Save money, travel, practice being mindful, quit bad habits, get more sleep. 8% of people actually reach their New Year's resolutions. It's amazing because many of us in here were between the ages of 15 and 60-ish. How many of us year after year have made New Year's resolutions? How many of us every year? And I'm sure out of the 12 I just read, there's so many more. But out of the 12 that I read, how many of us, we can agree with at least one of those? I'm sure regular exercise, eating healthy, no matter where we put that on our list, that's usually somewhere on our resolution. But only 8% of people actually reach their New Year's resolutions. 92% of people do not reach their goals. They stop keeping track. Their goals may be too vague, unrealistic, the expectations are wrong, the lack of planning. If we look back at 2025, what did it mean to you this year? In 2025, what has this year meant to you? If you Google it, and if you dig 2025, there's a lot of spiritual different meanings that come in the year 2025. Spiritual renewal, spiritual growth. There's so many good things that for many people, it has happened in 2025. There's some things that haven't happened in 25. But no matter what anyone says, the big thing is, how did you do in 2025? How did you do in 25? This morning, we're going to jump into Genesis chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called him. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, who you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey. He took 2 of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the 3rd day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship, and then we will come right back. Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife, as the two of them walked on together. Verse 7. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood on it. Then he told his tightest son, Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10, Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice, and at that moment the angel of the Lord called him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for I now know that you fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And so this morning, as we jump into this scripture, and as we dig, and as we relate it to 2025 and the coming of 2026, first thing I want us to do is take your hand, it can be right or left, and I want you to cover your eyes real quick. So if you were to take your right hand or your left hand and you recover your eyes completely, can any of us, and maybe some of us in here have secret powers, but if you do it properly, can you see through your hand? No. You go ahead and remove your hand. And so as we dig into the scripture, you keep that thought in your head. Am I seeing what God wants me to see? Am I seeing what God wants me to see? There's a few things I think that Abraham had on his checklist this morning. And there's five things that we're going to look at from this story that I think help us finish 2025 and get into 2026. And the first thing that we start with in Adam's life and represented here by my five wonderful chairs is Adam kind of started his life where it all began for him by learning how to listen. Now, many of us know this morning, obviously, when you come to church, you sit most of the time in church, right? That's not a bad thing. How many of us know you go to work? There's many people who have awesome office jobs and they sit in the chair, in the cubicle for work. Now, others of us, sometimes in a job place, but we get to walk around. My job, I get to drive in my car, so I'm in my car most of the time. I'm doing what? Sitting. How many of us, life, there's so much that happens and doesn't happen when we're sitting down. And the first thing we ask ourselves in 2025 is, have I properly learned how to listen? One of the most important things in life is listening. And number one, obviously, listening to one another, but listening to God above. The promises of God, that's one of the things that 2025 means, is to realize, to see some of the promises that God promised come to pass in my life. But nothing at all happens unless I'm listening. I'm listening. In 2025, did we listen? You know, for Abraham, he first started out and God spoke to him. The very first time that God spoke to him, he said to Abraham, I want you to leave your family and your home. The second time God spoke to him, and he's 75 years old, he said to Abraham, now I want you to follow me because I'm going to give you a land and a purpose that's going to pass on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Abram had God speak to him a number of different times. And so if we were to pick three times in Abram's life that God spoke to him, and they were all equally important. Number one, it was to pick up and to leave his house and his family. So let's just dissect that for a second. Why would God ask Abram, who turns into Abraham, why would God ask him to leave his home and his family? Well, one, he lived with people who worshiped idols. His family, they tried to do the right thing. Even Abraham's dad, he was called by God as well. He was called by God to move on, to get out of the place where there was so much idol worship. There was so much junk. And so his dad, he also got up and he left, but his dad got stuck, and it says his dad settled. So the calling passed from his dad and it passed on to Abraham. And Abraham heard the very first time, I want you to leave your home and your family. Our homes are a beautiful place of security and rest and peace. And for Abraham, he was asked to leave everything that he knew, and to leave his family. Many of us know that family sometimes could be a blessing, but it also can be a curse. There's family members we love, and there's family members who are like, they're so-so. From this story, from this point of view, from 2025's point of view, we ask ourselves, with family and even friends and in life and people in general, Abraham was asked to leave a people who were holding him back. He was asked to leave a country and a town where there was so much idol worship. That everywhere you go in this world, in this planet, there's a lot of idol worship, right? But God asks us spiritually, like he asked Abraham, listen, maybe you need to get out of this situation because something here is not good for you. Maybe the people are not good for you. Maybe this family member isn't good for you. And so the very first time God speaks to Abraham, it was to leave people and things that were very comfortable in him. The second time it was to follow me. It's time to follow me, Abraham. I want you to follow me. And if you follow me, I'm going to bless you, make you a great nation. And the third time that's important, he asked him to sacrifice his son. So there's three things. And God spoke to him more than just these three, but three things were pointed out this morning. Abraham listened when God spoke, and because he listened, God blessed this man's life. Because he was willing to give up his home, because he was willing to follow God, no matter where God led. Thirdly, he was willing to sacrifice, to give up. It says the most important thing to him in his life, which was his son. Did you know that most of us were in the conversation? We focus 55% when we're in a conversation with another person on their body language and not what someone's saying. Some of us focus 38% of a vocal tone, but not the words that are being spoken. Only 7% of humanity focuses when in a conversation of actually what someone is saying. Listening 100% is difficult for the majority of people. Why? Because some of us, we're focusing 55% of the time on what are they doing? What are they trying to say? We're looking at their actions. We're looking at what are they moving? Are they shaking? They're using their hands, not using their hands. 38%, we're listening just to the tone. And what does the tone mean to me? Only 7% can get past the body language. 7% of people can get past the tone and just simply listen. Just simply listen. We know there's a time in the story of one of the prophets, he was kind of running away and he was scared and he wanted to die. God takes him to a high mountain, the mountain of God. And he takes him up there and there was fire and there was earthquake and there was wind. And then all of a sudden there was silence. It says that God wasn't found in the fire. He wasn't found in the noise. And he wasn't found in the wind. But he was found in the silence and the stillness. Listening. One of the greatest things in life is listening. If we can listen to God's Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit stops us from getting in a car accident, would you put that on a high value of list of things to do? If God's voice, if God's Spirit stops me from car accidents, if His Spirit stops me from getting sick, if His Spirit stops me from tragedy and trouble, if God's Spirit wants to protect me and bless my life, should I not value listening for His voice? Abraham learned to listen. How important 2025 is listening been to us? When's the last time you felt like you heard God speak and God give you? We know the things that stop us from listening: being distracted, preoccupied, defensive, socially anxious, judgmental. Matthew 7:24 says, anyone who listens to my teaching, Jesus lays out the most important thing of people who become solid, strong people. He says, if you want to become a solid, strong person, there's two things you have to do. Listen and follow my words. Listen and follow. And so we see that Abram, he learned to listen. The second thing that he learned to do was to obey. How many of us learn in life, it's one thing to listen, man, but it's a whole other level when you can obey, right? I don't know what all your parents were like, But how many of us, and as us parents, we tell our kids things, but we're not just telling them because we want to waste our breath and air. We're telling them things because we want them to what? We want them to obey. You do what I'm telling you to do, or else. Right? Abram, he listened. More importantly, Abram learned to obey. I gotta watch what voice I use. All right, better know. Abram learned to obey. He learned to obey God. And you gotta remember, all of us had some type of earthly parents. All of us had some kind of earthly person who watched out for us, that cared for us, that helped guide us at some point. We had teachers, we had counselors, there was youth pastors, there was pastors. We had parents, mom, dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents. We had all these people all throughout our life that helped us along the way. Right? But think for Abraham in his life for a second. His number one resource, not saying that his family wasn't important, but his number one resource wasn't the people that he saw. It was God. God who we can't see. God who we can't see. God we can't see. But he learned to listen. And in listening, he learned to obey. He left his home. He went on a journey. We know that Abram wasn't a perfect man, nor did he live a perfect life. But he learned to obey. Hebrews 4:11. Let us do our best to enter that rest. If we disobey God, as all the people of Israel did, we will fall. The opposite of obey is what? Disobey. Hebrews 4, let us do our best to enter into the spiritual rest that God has. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. The blessing is in obedience. And every single person who chooses not to obey, the Bible says, we will fall. Thirdly, Abraham learned to deal with his enemy. He learned to listen. He learned to obey God. But thirdly, Abraham learned how to deal with his enemy. How many of us have had different enemies over our time and the course of our life? I mean, I can remember the first time at school, or maybe somebody threw something at you, maybe somebody, you know, said something and called your name. I can remember this in elementary school, you were being made fun of by someone before you smacked him in the face. How many of us ever remember our very first, maybe person we thought was our enemy? We've all had, actually, the same enemy. There's one enemy called the devil, Satan, Lucifer. And believe it or not, he's lied for a long time. And he's such a good liar. He's been lying since from the beginning. What's his purpose in lying? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, when we humans, when we lie, it's usually because we want to keep ourselves out of trouble. Right? The purpose of Satan's lies are to steal, kill, and destroy. Abram would never get to where he got if he didn't learn how to deal with the enemy. Now, we don't see it in the scripture. We don't hear it. But we know that as Satan tempted, Satan lied, Satan tried to destroy every single person, we know that at some point he had to deal with the enemy. Now, I think in this story, God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to sacrifice your son. I think the enemy instantly says, why would God say that? God promised to give you a son. God promised to have, you know, so many descendants, this, this, and this. God wouldn't tell you to sacrifice. Immediately, I fully believe with all my heart that as God told him what he wanted him to do, Satan was there with the opposite of what God asked him to do. Why wouldn't you sacrifice the thing that God gave you? Why would you give up what God gave you? And I think that's what's really hard for us sometimes as people and as Christians is, one, just listening to God in general because we live distracted, busy lives. But then two, it's really hard because many people can't decipher between God and the devil's voice. The very first time he lied, who did he lie? Adam and Eve. What was it about? It wasn't to kill each other, right? It wasn't to get a divorce. It wasn't the very first divorce. Adam and Eve, they had a marriage and they had kids and they lived until they died, right? It wasn't that. The devil came to Eve and to Adam and said, listen, if you could just take this, you'll become more like God. Now, in any one of our minds, doesn't that sound logical and make sense? Okay, sounds good. There was only one problem with that. God said, don't eat this fruit. So what was the devil doing? He just wanted them to disobey God. God in his word, does he ask us to do things that are different, out of our comfort zone? The minute he does, like sacrificing your only son, the enemy's right there. He's all over that. Because he does not want us to be obedient to God. He doesn't want us to be obedient to the voice of God. He doesn't want us to continue to walk in blessings. This is one of the tests that Abraham went through. Many believe, though it's not stated in Scripture, that he actually had 10 different tests in his life from God. This one, though, was the biggest. Because if God was to come to him, any one of us, and say, I want you to sacrifice one of your kids. I mean, I've got 5, but it'd be hard to pick one out of the 5 still. Right? I wouldn't want to do it. And how many of you? How many, maybe it's not kids, maybe it's something else that is the extremely most important thing to you. Because God said, this is the thing, and your boy, who you love with all your heart. If God was to say to you this morning, I want you to give up this one. God knows what you love. Maybe a person or a thing, more than anything. God knows what you love. God knows what you care about. God knows what your desires, what our desires are. And so if God came to us in the same way and said, I want you to give up this, would we be willing to pass the test as Abraham did? Matthew 16:23, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You receive things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. That's kind of a hard place to get stuck into. Jesus and Peter are having a conversation. Jesus just tells the group, listen, I'm going to die, but I'll be raised to life in 3 days. Peter pulls him aside and says, Jesus, no. You're not going to die. I'm not going to let you die. Peter didn't understand the purpose of God. Peter, in 1 second before that, he was listening to God's voice, and in the next second, he's listening to the enemy's voice because he didn't know it was God's purpose for Jesus to die. It was God's purpose to send Jesus to die on a cross so that he could become the offering, the sin sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. But Peter did not do that because he was listening to a human point of view. So do me a favor. Remember how we started by putting our right hand over our eyes? Do that one more time. Can any of us see? No. Go ahead and take them off. Peter did not see in this moment. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me because you're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Peter moved from hearing God's voice. Yes, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And then 2 minutes later, he turns to Jesus and he wants to reprimand Jesus. No, you're not going to die. And so what did Jesus say? You are blind. You're being ignorant right now because you can't see. Matthew 16:27. Son of man will come with his angels. The glory of his Father will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here will not die before they see the Son of man. Verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? And so if we were just to think about the enemy, and this morning we're talking about 2025, and we're talking about the things that maybe we did good and we got better at, but maybe there's some things that we can still improve on. And just taking from this story here, we know that Abram was a man who listened, and so he achieved and did great things for God because he listened. And then Abram was a man who learned to obey in God's voice. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil, he wants us to live a blurry. If you ever woke up or from a nap and your eyes are a little bit blurry for a second, it's a little bit hazy, or you just can't see 100%, that's how the devil wants us to live life. God created us and he gave life to every one of us. He wants us to live. He wants us to enjoy this earth. But what does Satan want us to do? He wants us to enjoy the things of this world more than God himself. Jesus said to Peter as they're having this conversation, if you want to be my follower, give up your own way. So what's the very first thing that the devil and us in our head, we start having a conversation? If Jesus wants me to give up my own way, what does the devil come and say? No, you don't want to give up your own way. This is what you like to do. This is who you are. When God first asked Abraham to leave his home, and said, the devil probably came and said, why would you give up that house? You just helped build and finish this house. Why would you give it up so easily? Why would you leave your family? I know they're a little jacked up, but they're still your family. On and on and on and on and on and on and on. The devil constantly lying because he doesn't want us to follow the voice of God. Every blessing in life, every promise of God, every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven above, it has to be accessed by listening. And does that listening mean God's always going to ask me what I want to do? Absolutely not. Is God always going to ask me to do things that I'm good with and I'm comfortable with? Absolutely not. Sacrificing the son that he loved more than anything was not easy and comfortable. Many of us learned in life that it's one thing to listen. It's one thing to obey. It's one thing to learn how to deal with the enemy in life. And let's be honest with you, sometimes our enemy is not the devil, it's ourselves. Sometimes our enemy within, the inner voice, is our greatest enemy. Because we know, man, all of us in here, we all were born broken. We're all born selfish. And so there's times where we want to dictate to God. We want to tell God, this is what I want. This is how I want it. And instead, God, let your will be done. Jesus, when he's in the garden, Jesus on the cross, what did he continue to say? This isn't easy, but God, let your will be done. Life isn't easy. God, let your will be done. God, let your will be done. I'm here. We're only here for a short time. We don't know how much time any one of us has. Unfortunately, sometimes death happens quicker than we would like. Sometimes the passing of this life into the next. We can't. There's no guarantee. Yes, sticking to our goals of eating healthy and working out might prolong life a little bit. Yes, stop eating cheeseburgers at McDonald's every week. You're going to prolong life a little bit. But at the end of the day, God is the giver, the taker of life. God gives and God takes away. We don't get to dictate to God. God dictates to us. Learning to deal with the enemy. And fourthly, what I love about this, about Abraham, is he followed it through till the end. He followed it through to the end. He followed it through to the end. How many of us know people, man, they get excited for God for a minute. Yes, Jesus! I love you, Jesus! I am going to start 5 Bible studies. I'm going to lead a group of people over here and here. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and this. And then 2 weeks later, they're nowhere to be found. Abraham, what he heard, what he decided to do, he didn't give up midway. He followed it through till the end. Many of us, spiritual life, it's like starting to build our own house. And many of us were excited at the opportunity. I get my own house. I'm going to build a house the way that I want it. Yes, da 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 da. And then maybe the ground gets poured. Maybe some of the foundation, some of the wood. And then many people just give up. So many Christians I know, so many Christians you know, and even ourselves at times, there are things that God asks us to do. We're excited, we started, and we gave up. Just like our New Year's resolutions. Exercising regularly. I'm going to do it 3 times a week. Yes, till I get this, right? And it kind of just falls to the cracks like everything else. One of the biggest things I think that as believers and sons and daughters is our lack of follow-up and follow-through for what God's put us here to do. To me, that's one of the greatest tragedies in all of life, is God calls every single one of us with purpose. God created us. Now, pinch yourself for a second. I'm alive this morning. I'm alive, right? Because we're alive, we're designed, we're called, and we have purpose. And to me, one of the greatest tragedies in life is people who choose and see how good God is. Jesus said, when his disciples went out to get lunch, and they came back and they said, "We got your favorite Philly cheesesteak sandwich. It is still hot. The provolone is melted. The grilled onions and peppers are perfectly throughout the sandwich." And Jesus said, "I'm not hungry." They said, "What? Who fed him? Who got him food when we walked away?" And he said, "Listen, my food, it's not about what I eat, put in my stomach." Jesus said, "My food, my nourishment comes from doing what God's put me here to do." We get, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but the stomach is like a muscle, just like any other muscle in your body. The more you use it, the more it grows. If you work out every single day, muscles are going to grow. If you eat, like most of us do, every single day, if we're not careful, what does it do? It grows. Our life, it is what we feed it. God has put us here. The nourishment of God, doing what he's put us and created us for on this great planet, it will give you more nourishment than anything you can eat, anything that you can drink. God's nourishment is way better. For Abraham, the fourth thing that he learned and speaks to us in 2025 is, I follow through. I finish it to the end. I finish my project. I finish the task. I don't walk away. I follow through. Jesus describes something, Luke 14, verse 25. He says, "A large crowd was following Jesus, and he turned around and said to them, 'If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father, your mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciples. If you don't carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might only complete the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.'" Verse 31. "What king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he'll send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. You cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt, it's good for seasoning, but if you lose the flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt's good neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It's thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Jesus speaking radically, as he often did. And so as we break down this quick thing, he said, "Listen, if you want to be a disciple, you must hate everybody in your life." Did he really want us to hate everybody in our life? No. But the point that he made in this text was, I need to be number one. I need to be number one. Is it that God has this complex that God needs to be loved and adored? Absolutely not. But you know what? The only fix for humanity, The only fix for humanity is laid out through the Bible. The only fix in this system, in this heart, mind, and soul, is the solution and formula of God. And that is number one. God needs to be the number one most important thing in my life every single day, everywhere I go, and everything that I do. God, I have to be willing at every given second to give up everything. God calls me, I have to give up what I want to do. If God calls me, I have to be willing to walk out of this situation. If God calls me, I have to be willing. Jesus said to give up everything. He said, count the cost. Give up it all. I love how he ended it. He said, listen, you can't be my disciple without giving everything you own. When anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. I wonder today if one of our biggest struggles in life, sometimes in being a Christian, is our follow through. We make promises to God. We want God to keep all his promises, but do we keep ours? Do we keep our promises back to God? And then lastly, number five, my last chair, is the statement that Abraham made with his life. Do you know that you make a statement everywhere you go and everything that you do? In your house, in the workplace, everywhere you go and everything that you do, you make a statement with your life. And we all have a statement. We all have something that we go by. It's what we say. People can see it. We don't even have to say it. People know what we love. They know what we care about, even without us speaking. People know what you're passionate about. His passion? I follow God. His statement with Abraham's life was, I follow God. I follow God. I'm not perfect. He made some mistakes. He lied. Maybe he cheated on his taxes. Maybe he did this. He didn't cheat on his taxes. That was just a joke. He did lie. But he was not a perfect person. He was not by any means. But what Abraham did was, the statement of his life was, I follow God. I don't follow anybody else. I follow God, and I don't follow anybody else. If you want to follow me to the land of blessing, get behind me, because I'm following God. This train, this person, only follows God. I follow God. And so with his statement, with the statement that he makes, I follow God, these words follow. Love, trust, faith. Love, trust, faith. They were what? They were all in God alone. And then there was evidence of his statement. And it carried into his family. And it carried into his sons. And it carried into the people who were around him. He had a nephew one time who, just his nephew, because he was close to Abram, the nephew became a very wealthy, strong person. It wasn't in his actions, it was because of who he was with. If any one of us was to hang out with Bill Gates every day, Elon Musk, money would just start rubbing off on us and just start shedding like crazy. Lot became a wealthy person in life, strong for a while, because he was with Uncle Abraham, until the day where he thought, I don't need Uncle Abraham. And he didn't realize it wasn't Abraham, it was God. And Lot turned his back on God, and forever his life got destroyed because he took his eyes off of God and lost everything. This morning, as we start to wrap up, we kind of finish in the story. And that is Genesis 22, starting in verse 13. Abraham looked up, and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called again Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. All of us in here this morning, we've already chosen, but we all leave a legacy. We're living legacy now to the friends and family that we see on a regular basis. We leave some type of statement and legacy to every single person that we come into contact with. In every single conversation, we know that humanity supposedly only can focus 7% of the time. But through every conversation, there's a statement that is made, a life that is lived. And for Abraham in his life, God promised all the descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed because he learned to obey. And from his life and from his family line, blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing, because what he passed on to his sons and daughters, what he passed on to the people in his life, it wasn't his good looks, and we have no idea what he looked like. He might have been a fine gentleman. It wasn't his wife. It wasn't the kid that he had. It wasn't where he came from. It wasn't his race, his nationality. It was, here's a man who learned to listen. He learned to listen. And in listening, he heard the voice of God. And when he heard that voice, he decided, I got an option here. God's giving me a choice. If I obey, he promises to bless and protect me the rest of my life. Sounds pretty good to me. Doesn't sound half bad. But in listening to God's voice, I have to first learn to deal with the enemy, the devil, because he also wants my life. He also wants to destroy me and everyone around me. And I have to learn how to decipher from God's voice and the enemy's voice. And I have to learn how to decipher, even from my own voice that's in my head, tell me what to do, where to go, who should I be, who should I hang out with, who my identity is, who my friend circle is, what my habits and my hobbies are. So many different things that we get caught up in. But in 2025, the biggest question becomes, because we're all going to set goals and resolutions, did I listen to God this year? Did I obey? Did I get any better at deciphering the enemy's voice? Did I follow through with what God asked me to do this year? And lastly, what's the statement of faith that I make? When I'm at work, do people know I love God? Or do they know everything else I love? Right? Most people, when they're on the job, they're not really talking about God and church. Some of them do, right? Most people talk about everything else. New episodes, new TV shows, new songs, concerts, right? Games. Most of the time during the week, what are people talking about? Other things they love other than God. There's a statement of faith that is made. And lastly, I say all those things to say this. One last time, if you put your hand over your eyes. I can't see you, and most of you, you can't see me except for those with special powers. Go ahead and remove your hand. The greatest part in the story is that the sacrifice was already there, but he didn't see it before until he obeyed God. The blessing, the provision, the healing, it was right there in front of him. The ram was stuck already in the thorns, but he did not see it before. He didn't hear the rustling, That ram, I guarantee, had to be making some noise. But see, he was so stuck in his head what God was asking him to do, because it was the hardest thing ever, sacrifice your only son. So there was only one thought that he had in his head. Oh my gosh, what am I doing? What am I going to do? What would I do without my son? How am I going to do this? He was wrestling with God inside of himself. This one thing, it was so loud and it was so vibrant that he failed to see God already provided. This is where sometimes we get stuck. We're so stuck on this one thought. We're so stuck in this one feeling. We're so stuck in this one desire. We're so stuck on this one pill. We're so stuck on this one thing. And it's like having blinders on our eyes. God saying, man, if you just would obey, bam, it's already there. What does God have waiting for you? What does God have waiting for your friends and your family? What does God have waiting for those people who are close to us if we would just take another step and obey? Listen, obey. Learn to deal with the enemy. Follow through to the end. Make the statement of faith. There was one man, Apostle Paul, who was a great Christian, who said a couple things, and then we're going to close and pray. Number one, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I do focus on one thing. I forget the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize, which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life, which God has called every one of us, which you have declared before many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all, before Christ Jesus, give a good testimony before Pontius Pilate that you obey this command without wavering, that no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Don't you realize in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do this for an eternal prize. I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And at the end of Paul's life, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I remain faithful. Your life, it had a beginning. Your life, it has a middle. And your life will have an end. What is the statement we make with our lives, all through our life, and even up to the end? What is the statement? And can we say what Apostle Paul says? I have fought the fight. I gave it every single thing I have. I fought. 2025, a few more days, it's gone. In 2026, it's going to be here in a few days. What's God asking us to do? Is there anything that he's asking any one of us in here this morning? Is there anything that he's asking us? Maybe I need to change seats. Sometimes we like to sit in the same spot for so long that we're missing the other aspects of life. Is there any maybe aspect God's saying, listen, you've got this down. Yes, you're good at this. But maybe let's step out of the box and let's try this over here. Let's do something. Sometimes God works in silence and God works in ways that we can't see and we don't even understand. There's times when God's teaching us patience, when God is teaching us to be faithful, God's teaching us to be loyal. And so through the tests and trials, don't allow the different voices of life, the different chairs of life to get you down. Don't let the Word of God, some people hear the Word of God and they feel like they just got on a punching match and they're, I'm so beat up. They stumble out of church because they feel like they've been hit in the head too many times. It's not what the Word of God is. Yes, it corrects us. Yes, the Word of God, Jesus, God, listen, it may correct you. It may cut you a little bit. But take that, like Paul says, run with it. Run with what I said in the Word this morning. All right, let's pray.